You're listening to Baking to the B-Movies with Ashley and Steph, broadcasting from the woods of Western Massachusetts. They're here to talk about the beautiful, the gory, the nonsensical, and of course, mostly bad horror filmmaking that we all know and love, while creating recipes inspired by these wonderful abominations. You can follow Baking to the B-Movies on Instagram, at Baking to the B-Movies, and on Twitter, at Baking to B Movies. These ladies dig deep into these movies, and some of the topics covered are disturbing. So this is your spoiler warning and explicit content warning. Listener discretion is advised. Now onward to good food, good friends, and movies so bad they literally cannot stop talking about them.
Welcome back to Baking to the B-Movies. My name is Ashley.
My name is Steph.
Thank you all so much for joining us today. Always a pleasure to be here in the studio with you, Steph. How are you?
I am doing okay. How are you?
It's been crazy. It's been a really crazy couple of weeks. We were just talking about, like, the TV shows that we were catching up on,
yeah.
You know, off air. We'll get into that later because I think it's worth revisiting because some of it's really bad. But before we – wow, that was loud. Sorry.
It's cool.
My mic. I got to fix my mic. Before we get started, I think we should just do the usual thing that I do.
Sure.
We are available wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share. I recommend if you need to catch up on old episodes, you can head on over to our RSS feed that is linked on our social media. It's an archive of every single episode since the very first one a couple years ago. And we are up to, this is episode 53. We've been at this for a couple of years now. We're just cranking them out.
Yeah. Thank God there's so many terrible movies out there.
I know,
for
right?
us.
No shortage there.
No, not at all.
No recession as it comes to horror movies, bad horror movies. And some good horror movies. We review some good ones too. Mm. You can follow us on Instagram. We are at Baking to the B Movies. We are on Twitter at Baking to B Movies. I honestly don't know how much longer we're going to be on Twitter. It is, it's god awful.
Yeah.
It is just nonstop ads. Nonstop, like you can pay to have a verified account, so it's people with check marks that have no idea what the fuck they're talking about.
Obviously,
like always at the top, like giving their stupid bullshit opinions that are not based like, in anything in science or the real world.
No facts,
pulling shit off of Wikipedia and their ass and tweeting it. And that's like the targeted thing that comes up when I open it. So.
Not one bit surprising there.
Yeah, I don't know how much longer we're going to be on Twitter. At this point, I'm just being like, hey, new episode. I'm not engaging because it's a nightmare. And it's all bots.
Yes.
Like,
there is a problem there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you thinking? Primarily Instagram?
Instagram.
The old IG. The gram.
There's Threads, which is like the Twitter for Instagram.
Right.
Which might be okay. And
right.
then there's one called like Blue Sky.
Yes. I've heard that.
And maybe I'll make something there. That you need like an invite code to. But
yeah.
We can. I have plenty. We're good.
Okay.
I got plenty of them. And if you want to reach out to us directly, we are at bakingtothebmovies@gmail.com. If you got any recommendations, any feedback, any ideas for recipes, like we're always looking for new stuff.
Absolutely.
So Steph, Thanksgiving is upon us. We are heading in.
I friggin' hate Thanksgiving.
What is it?
Holidays.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
How you're not. I've grown to love the holidays. I mean, I've always loved Halloween. That's always
Obviously,
been my favorite
that's
holiday.
Never changed. Yeah.
And I've liked Christmas, but I haven't like, you know, I've started to like lean into it more over the past few years. Like the older
Me too.
I get, it's more fun because I'm an adult now and like.
I mean, I still don't like buying gifts and the the rigmarole of that bullshit, but I mean, I don't hate it as much as I used to, especially now that I don't even have to leave my house to shop.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, it's so easy.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I loved Thanksgiving and Christmas because obviously I'm a kid. Like, I don't have to go to school.
Right.
And
that's the big one.
I don't have to go to school. I didn't have a job because I was a child.
Thank God. Right? Like, let's bring those days back.
Right. And then, you know, I got presents, and all I had to do, all I had to do was like for like 2 weeks in December, not fuck up. And I got presents.
It wasn't that whole like, oh, you got to be, you know, nice 365 days a year. You're like, nah. 14 days up to leading up to Christmas.
I just remember, like, I remember being a kid and, like, my dad had said that once. Like, it was, like, I don't know, like, the week before Christmas. And he's like, Santa's watching. And that was, like, the first time, like, I was, I don't know, I was, like, 6 or 7 where I was thinking to myself, like, okay, he's watching. But, like, where was he when I, like, kicked my brother in between the legs? Like,
right?
No one said anything about that.
I'm a terrible child.
I was, like, wreaking havoc, like, 4 months ago. Where was Santa then? That was, like, when the disillusion started. And then there's, like, that, there's, like, you know, when you're a teen, it's still kind of great because, like, you, again, you don't have to go to school. Like, it's fine. Like, you have a job. But, like, also, if you're a minor, you don't have to work super late. But then there's, like, that pocket, like, in your 20s into your 30s where it's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, because it's like, so oh my, much.
Like, oh my God, like I worked retail, so it's like, oh, I got
to
work.
That is the worst, yeah. Hands down, that is the
worst. I worked
worst
retail in my 20s, and it's like, oh, I got to work Black Friday, I got to work Christmas Eve, I got to work the day after Christmas.
And it's like Black Friday at like 1 a.m.
Oh yeah,
like, shit like that.
I would.
Or Christmas Eve, oh my God.
Like I remember kind of like the end of my tenure as a retail person. I remember like having to go into work at like 7 p.m., on Thanksgiving to prep for Black Friday because we opened at midnight. So it was like, I was literally like,
still making minimum wage.
Yeah. Still making like shit money and like shoveling,
why do I care about this?
Like shoveling food into my mouth on Thanksgiving. So I can like then run to my job and like work a 14-hour shift and get screamed at by boomers that are like, how come you're out of this perfume that smells like shit? Cause I want to get this for my sister. She loves this. And yeah, and just,
you're like, well, they're like, have you checked up your butt?
So there's, like, that window where it's, like, it's fucking miserable. And, like, you don't have a lot of money. I mean, I'm speaking on my own, but, like, in my 20s, I didn't have a lot of money.
I was working
a bunch of dead-end jobs and, like, you know, and like, trying to save up enough to, like, get gifts for people that were, like, meaningful and nice so I wouldn't feel like a loser. And then, like, you know, you cross over in your 30s and you're, like, oh, like, some of the friends that you had, you don't talk to anymore, so you don't have to buy them shit.
Yeah.
And, like, some family you don't talk to anymore, so you don't have to buy them anything. And you're, you know, some people are working, like, more high-paying jobs. You know, a lot of us have gotten our degrees by now, so it's like, okay, we can, like, work in our field or whatever. So, I don't know, now it's like I enjoy it because it's like, oh, that dipshit friend that I used to spend a lot of money on in my 20s, I don't talk to that bitch anymore. I'm gonna buy her anything. Okay. And you know who I'm talking about.
Didn't we ever, like, exchange gifts like that when we were young? I thought we were all too broke.
We used to give each other, like, gag gifts. Like, you gave me, like, an Insane Clown Posse poster.
Well.
And the Hillary Clinton nutcracker.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I still like to do that. But I just meant, like, as a group. You know?
Yeah. I remember us doing, like, a gift exchange a couple of times, like, in our early 20s. And, like, you and I would go out and the thing was to find, like, the funniest, most either offensive or just ridiculous thing imaginable and buy
completely
it.
Useless.
Completely useless. Yeah. It's gonna collect dust somewhere, but it's still funny.
But it's funny. It's like, funny. That's worth $20.
It's having somebody open the present, seeing their reaction. It makes it all worth it. The Voldemort that I'm talking about, she who shall not be named, that we had exchanged gifts with a couple of times. I remember she used to, I have to stress this. It is not how much you spend on a gift that matters. It's the thought behind it. Yeah. Like I've had people make me beautiful things for the holidays that I still love and treasure because they were made with love and they serve a purpose.
Right.
She used to just like whatever hacky artwork she was working on and didn't finish, she'd just give it to us and be like, it's a conceptual piece or whatever. Like, you know, I painted this and it's unfinished because I want you to use your imagination to finish the painting. And it's like,
oh my God.
It's like, here's what you did. You started painting something. You realize that you suck at it. You didn't want to throw away the easel because it's like a perfectly good easel. So you gave it to me so that I can now let it collect dust in the back of my closet because there's no fucking way that's going up on my wall. It's ridiculous.
I know. Oh my goodness. So. Yes, I know. Obviously, I know who you are speaking of.
But now I love the holidays because I don't have to deal with that shit anymore. Now it's,
yeah,
we do like Friendsgiving. We go to a nice restaurant, all of us, and like I'll pitch in and like we do a little gift exchange.
I think that's so much like more meaningful, especially now since we're adults and stuff. Like, you don't get to see your friends as frequently as you'd like, you know? So, like, going out to eat and just spending time with each other, I think, is more special to me anyway. I will always buy you the stupidest shit I could ever find, Ashley.
My Christmas present to you last year was literally one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. You have it displayed beautifully by your front door, which makes me so happy.
It's up.
Because you have to, like, walk up to it to see what it says, and then you're like, oh my God. Because it's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing.
It's pretty good stuff.
It's amazing. Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm at this point now where, like, I actually really enjoy the holidays. And, you know, Halloween ended and I was sad to see Halloween go. But then I was like, oh my God, like, Thanksgiving's coming up and Friendsgiving. And all I have to do is show up with a pie at Thanksgiving and I've got it made. I can eat as much as I want. I have to make anything. I have to cook anything.
I have to cook a few things.
Yeah. But you're a good cook though. So, like, you can crank that shit out, like, no problem.
Yeah, but it's still annoying.
Oh, I know. Friendsgiving is always really fun. We always go to that restaurant near Princeton that we like. That's, like, kind of our...
I thought that the place we went last year was way too crowded.
The place we went last year, that... Well, I was talking about the Old Mill. We used to
The Old Mill, sure.
The Old Mill's, like, the perfect place to have a thing, Friendsgiving.
Because it's big.
Because it's huge, there's got enough space, and the food's amazing. And, like, the food's good. The food's really good. The place we went to last year, and I forget the name, the food was okay, but it really was... It was, like, I couldn't, like, turn in my seat without bumping elbows with somebody else.
Like, it was so tight in there.
Yeah.
Like, well... Whatever. I mean, and the food was okay, but it wasn't anything that I couldn't just make at home.
Exactly.
So.
Still fun, but I think we should do the Old Mill again this year. I think that's because it's a nice halfway point between all of us. Like, our current group that we have, it's like,
everybody
kind of drives around the same amount of time to get there. Not
me. It's actually quite close to me.
I was going to say, it's very close to you. What are your plans for Thanksgiving this year?
My family never celebrates Thanksgiving on the day of,
right?
Because everybody's going to their respective significant others, so we're getting together on the 24th.
Okay.
And that's pretty much about it.
Okay. Oh, so you're doing, like, the week before?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, next week, next weekend. Yeah, no, next weekend.
What day is it?
I had to think about exactly what day it was. Yeah, next weekend. So I don't want to say anything bad, but do I want to go? No.
here come the angry phone calls and texts when your family listens to this.
Yeah, right. They don't listen to this. No, it's just that I have to drive, like, 2 hours.
Oh, that's right. You gotta go down by, like, the Cape, don't you?
It's, like, well, not super quite. Far. Yeah, but it's down there.
Yeah.
So it's just it's a long drive.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that really sucks about it. But for Thanksgiving, I don't know. We might have Andy's dad here or something, and that's it.
Okay. Yeah. One of my brothers lives in Florida. He hasn't been home for a couple of years now. We haven't seen him in, like, 2 years. My other brother's actually leaving the country for a few weeks. So he's not going to be here for Thanksgiving. He's going on an extended vacation. So Thanksgiving is essentially going to be me, my mother, my aunt, my uncle, and, like, that's it.
Nice.
And like, I was jazzed about it because, like, my mom, you've seen what my mom feeds, like, an army. It doesn't matter how many, like, she'll call and be like, what's your favorite dessert? And then she'll make it. Or, like, what's your favorite, like, side dish? And she'll make it. Like, she makes way too much fucking food.
Right.
So I was really excited for her this year because I was like, Mom, you only have to cook for 4 people. That's, like, a normal meal. Like, you don't have to go crazy. And she's like, no, Ashley, we're doing it the way we always do it. And I'm like, but we don't have to. That's the point. Like, you don't have to spend all this money or waste all this time. And she's like, no, traditions are traditions. Ugh. And I'm making the same amount of food. So what do you want for a dessert? And I'm like, I will bring dessert. It's fine. There's a fancy pie place out by me. I already pre-ordered a pie and I'll pick it up next week. But she's like, okay, so, like, what kind of potatoes do you want? She can make, like, 8 different kinds of... I'm like, no one is going to fucking eat this. Like, it is going to sit in the refrigerator until it goes bad.
Right.
Enough.
Like, that's so much.
I know.
Like, it's always too much. But whatever.
I still think my mom should open a bed and breakfast. She'd be so good at it.
she would be.
And her house looks like the inside of a Cracker Barrel.
It so does. Like, so hard. Like, so much stuff everywhere. And it's, like... random stuff too.
Yeah.
Like, why are these skis on the wall? I know you don't go skiing.
Well, she had like that, she went through that phase where she was like super into roosters. And then like,
yeah,
it gradually, I mean, she still loves roosters, but then it like gradually phased into like pigs and like horses and stuff. Uh-huh. Like, it's like other farm animals. Now she's like really into gnomes. So,
okay.
So like you walk into the house and it's like, there's rooster shit everywhere. But then like you turn a corner and you're like, whoa, it's like gnomes, just gnomes all over the fucking place. So it's, yeah.
Nice.
So yeah, that's my plan. I'm excited for leftovers. I'm decorating for Christmas this weekend. I'm just going to get it done.
Really? Because yeah. I've been thinking about decorating for Christmas as well. But it's not even Thanksgiving yet.
I like to do it.
So I'm like, I don't really want to push it.
I like to do it before Thanksgiving, because after Thanksgiving, then I shift into like gift shopping mode. Like I don't have time to decorate because I got to buy presents and wrap them and make sure like everybody's taken care of and like get cards out and stuff. So
yeah.
I'm going to do it this weekend. I'm just going to get, I got a little gas station tree that I've had since I moved into my apartment. It's so, it's so ugly. Like yeah. Half the lights don't work, but like I refuse to give up on it. So
well,
it's
good for you. So, I mean, I don't have any of that stuff because my cats will eat it.
Oh, that's right. You can't.
It sucks. You got those animals. So I have like other stuff I do. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, you have your Christmas candles and they smell delightful. The last time I was here, you held one up to me and I don't even think it, we had fully like finished Halloween yet. Like we were still in Halloween mode, but I sniffed it and I was like, I can hear like the Mariah Carey vocals in the back yeah. of my head as I'm sniffing yes. this candle. It smells
yes.
so good.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm excited. So
yeah, me too.
I'm also excited to talk about today's movie because I had heard about it. I knew about it, but I had never actually watched it all the way through before. I think I had seen like a snippet of it and I was like, oh, that looks both comedic and horrifying, but I never actually like committed to watching the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I finally watched the whole thing and I'm really, really looking forward to talking about it. This is going to be a good one. I'm excited.
Yeah, this is when it came out, I remember Andy mentioning it and I'm like, the hell? And then we watched it. I'm like,
what the fuck?
And I was like, oh, I hate this guy. And I don't know why, because...
Are you talking about the actor or... Yeah, okay.
Because, like, every movie he's in, he always...
Plays a douche.
He's constantly plays a douche, but he always gets his in the end.
Yeah,
you know?
Which makes it worth it.
Yeah, exactly. The payoff is just fantastic.
Like, I had heard about this one, and like I said, I had seen a snippet, but I actually didn't know, like, the involvement that some people had in it. Like, who directed it? Like, who wrote it? And then
right.
I was like, oh my, how did I not know? And I thoroughly enjoyed this one from start to finish.
That's good.
It went by quick.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell, and also I know we typically revisit like the previous recipe, but we already talked about it in our last episode. I had made the macadamia nut for the Babadook and duck. I had made those cookies and we ate them before we recorded and we're like, yeah, they're great. Okay, moving on. So we don't need to revisit that, but I think we can get into this week's movie.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell the audience what we're talking about today? Is it the tender story?
the tender story of a douche of the, let me start that over. The tender story of half of a podcast team.
Oh boy. This one hurts.
Right? That travels to Canada in the efforts to find interesting stories. This is a Kevin Smith film called Tusk.
Yes.
And it stars Justin Long, my love to hate.
Who he made an appearance in our premiere. We did Jeepers Creepers as our season premiere this time around. And Justin Long, that was his debut.
It was
Jeepers
his Creepers.
And now we are seeing him yet again.
And he got it in that movie as well.
Yeah. And he sure gets it in this one.
He sure does.
So this is a 2014 movie, clocking in at an hour and 42 minutes. It flew by. It went by really quick. Like you said, the cast in this is also, there's a cameo in this that we can talk about later. I don't want to spoil it, but I was like, holy shit, when this person showed up.
You didn't know?
I did not know.
Wow.
And then they popped up and I was like, no way. And I checked and I'm like, oh my God, it is.
Definitely, yeah.
It's him.
Okay.
But this one's...
Well, do you want to talk about the cast after the fact then?
Well,
or do you want to do that now?
I mean, there's a few other people in this. There's Justin Long who plays Wallace. Haley Jo Osment from The Sixth Sense, all grown up. And he's done other things, of course.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
He's most recognizable from that. He plays Teddy, who is Wallace's co-host on their podcast. We have Genesis Rodriguez. She plays Allie, who is Wallace's girlfriend. Michael Parks, who plays Howard Howe.
Yep.
H-O-W-E.
Who is also in Kill Bill 1 and 2.
Yes.
From Dusk Till Dawn 1 and 3. And Django Unchained.
Yes, guy has a
big Tarantino.
Yeah, big Tarantino guy. And then, you know, there's a couple other people in this movie that make an appearance. One in particular that I was like, what? So I'm excited. And I hate how good he was in this. Like, it makes me so mad how great
like he stopped the story dead in its tracks.
I hate how fun he was to watch in this.
But yes, it was a ridiculous, like, comic relief kind of character, yeah, you know?
It was great. But I think we can get right into this one. Now, I did notice at the beginning it looks like A24 produced this, I believe.
Yes.
Which, as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, this is going to be good, because they seem to crank out only good movies. Like, yeah. I have yet to see a bad one.
Have you seen, speaking of which, have you seen I Saw the TV Glow yet?
No, I haven't seen that one. Is it good?
I don't know. I watched the whole thing, and it's bizarre.
Yeah.
It was out there, so I, maybe, because that was when I was anticipating.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, it's on Max.
I think, like, one of the last ones I saw was the Talk to Me one with the devil hand, or not devil, it's like the demon hand. That was really good. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, most off of the nut, they make some pretty good flicks.
They can, it's nice to have a production company or, like, a studio that you can actually, like, depend on now.
Yes.
Like when you see that they're involved, you're like, they cherry pick what they put out, mm-hmm. what they put their name on, yeah. and it's usually quality stuff. So I went into this, I saw that, and I was like, okay, like, I'm in for a treat.
Yeah.
But this one begins kind of what we're doing right now. It's a podcast.
Yeah.
And it's hosted by Wallace and Teddy. They are these two longtime friends. And their podcast is kind of like, it kind of reminds me of, like, Howard Stern, but, like, in podcast form, like Shock Value.
Like. Right. Like, it seems that they look up, like, videos and things like that, like goofy stuff on the internet.
Yeah.
And then they go meet with the person and interview them. Things yes. like that.
Yeah. So their podcast, which is called, and they kept saying it, and I was like, that's clever. Like, it's, I hate how clever. It's called the Not See Party, but
N-O-T-S-E-E.
But, like, when they say it quick, they're like, you know, the Nazi party. And I'm like, come again?
Join the Nazi party.
The Nazi party. And they're focusing on this one video in particular that it's this guy,
which is kind of funny.
Yeah, they call him the Kill Bill Kid.
Yeah,
and it's this guy making, well, it's a kid. It's like, it's a teenage boy.
Making, it reminded me of the Star Wars guy.
Yeah, reminded me of the Star Wars kid. But the Kill Bill Kid is, like, playing with a samurai sword in his garage. He has his phone on a tripod and he's, like, showing off his moves at the same. Yeah, and he accidentally cuts his own leg off.
Yeah. Like, all the way.
All the way. Like, the leg comes off.
Yeah.
And Wallace and Teddy are just dying at this. And Wallace is telling the audience, like, I'm actually going to Canada in a few days to interview this guy. But Teddy's not going with him. Teddy won't travel with him. He stays behind.
Yeah.
So Wallace is going up to, like, Manitoba to find this kid to do an interview. And it should be noted, too, one of the most distracting things about this is Justin Long's mustache. It's so
I mean, I believe it's there to basically get the point home, you know, with what happens to him.
Yeah.
Because mustaches are kind of like a thing that, because I don't want to spoil anything going into the, talking about the movie here and what happens to Justin Long. But I think because of what happens to him, the mustache makes sense,
yeah,
you know?
It resembles something.
But yeah, it's a greasy, greasy, gross mustache. That does not look good.
Yeah, so Wallace heads up to Canada. This podcast and where they live is based in Los Angeles. They're in California. And he, you know, catches a flight up to Canada and gets a rental car and everything because this kid's kind of a hike away.
Yeah.
And Canada's pretty, depending on where you go in Canada, it's a lot of lot of wilderness. I did love, like, the immigration agent that was talking to him, like, when he first got there, and he's, like, checking his paperwork because he's telling about the Canada-dos and the Canada-don'ts.
Yes.
I thought was very funny.
We are red and white, but never blue.
Yes.
And I'm like, good for you.
You never tell a Canadian that you don't watch hockey. Like, yeah, you know, exactly. Things like that. Right. The guy was very, very funny.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, so from there, Justin Long, or Wallace, I should say, is making his way to interview the Kill Bill kid.
Right.
And when he gets to the house in his rental car, he gets out and there is a funeral wreath like on the front door, and when he goes out back, there's like an actual funeral like happening. In progress.
Yeah.
And come to find out, the Kill Bill kid has killed himself. He has committed suicide. So now Wallace cannot get his interview.
No.
And rather than have any empathy, he's bullshit about it.
I know. He's such a douche in this. He's such a douche in everything. But like this is specifically like douchey.
Yeah.
Although he's supposed to be. Yeah. So he does get that point across.
Which it kind of... Everything, like, we've talked about this. Everything we've ever seen Justin Long in, Drag Me to Hell.
I literally watched that, like, a week ago.
It's a good one. Drag Me to Hell is still good. Jeepers Creepers, Waiting with Ryan Reynolds, which Ryan Reynolds' character out-douches Justin Long's character. So it's like, you don't even realize how douchey he is.
Justin Long's character isn't actually
like that bad.
That bad of a douche in that movie.
Especially when you got Ryan Reynolds standing next to you. That guy just sucks up all the energy in the room. Like, yeah. He's like, but it makes me wonder, and I really hope I'm right about this. He's so good at playing a douchebag that I feel like he's probably a super nice guy in real life.
You know, like I was literally thinking about that the other day.
You never know anything bad about him.
No, you don't.
Like, there's no scandals involving Justin Long.
Yeah, like, you see him so often just being a complete asshat, and he does it well. But because of that, I have to assume that he's probably a decent human being.
You never hear anything bad about Justin Long. Right. If you know anything bad about Justin Long that we should know about, because I don't want to give this guy too much credit if he is actually a dick in real life, bakingtothebmovies@gmail.com. Spill that TMZ gossip. Send it our way. So anyway, Wallace is like bullshit because now he doesn't have a story. And
he basically is looking to get back to LA.
Yeah, he just wants to go back to Los Angeles. And he calls Teddy and like leaves him a voicemail explaining the situation. And he's like, he's in a bar and he's like being
bar.
Like he's being super loud and obnoxious in this bar talking about how awful Canada is.
Right? And what a piece of shit.
He's such a
dick. He's just talking about how terrible Canada is.
Canada is fucking amazing. I just want to go on the record and be like, I fucking love Canada.
Yeah.
I've been to Canada a couple times. Yeah. Both times were amazing. Get some poutine, man. Like all you gotta do is get some poutine.
Yeah.
It's the best thing. So while he's in the bar, he goes to the bathroom and, you know, he's taking a piss or whatever. And there's like all these like, you know, flyers and band stickers and shit on this thing over the urinal. And he catches a glimpse of like what appears to be like a novel. It's like a letter.
Yeah, like a handwritten letter.
And it's by this guy, Howard, or Mr. Howe.
Yeah.
Who promises that he will tell you incredible stories about his life. He has lived an insane life.
Yeah, if he basically does some like lighthouse work or something, basically just to help him out.
Yeah, originally he's...
And a free room and board.
He's like offering like a place to live for free. And all you have to do is help him out and he'll tell you stories about his life. He's like, I have so many great stories that'll keep you entertained. And this is exactly what Wallace needs.
Yes.
Because
that's what he's looking for.
Like, he's looking for something to talk about on the podcast because the original plan has gone out the window.
Yeah, fell through.
So he does call Mr. Howe and, you know, he's in a convenience store and, you know, picking up some snacks. He has like a big gulp. Oh, the gulp.
I love how the big gulp just keeps resurfacing throughout the movie.
He loves his big gulps. and, you know, he does leave like little breadcrumbs wherever he goes on where he's going, you know, which good for him.
And he keeps, like, calling, like, Teddy leaving voicemails and stuff.
Yeah, he calls Teddy
and his girlfriend.
And Allie and, like, leaves them messages on, like, where he's going, what he's doing. Like, you know, I'm hoping to get, like, a really good story out of this and I'll keep you posted. And, you know, and he's on the phone with Mr. Howe and, like, gets the address and everything. And he goes up to the counter and the two clerks are Harley Quinn Smith, who is Kevin Smith's daughter, and Lily Rose Depp. Who's Johnny Depp's daughter.
Yup.
And they're like, and they've been in a movie before. They were in like another Kevin Smith movie a while back. I forget what it was. And they played like a similar role, I think.
Was it Yoga Hosers?
Maybe.
Because they play the exact, it's basically a spinoff of this movie.
Gotcha. Okay.
And they play the same exact character.
I was going to say, I think they're clerks in that movie as well.
Mm-hmm. I've actually never seen that one, but.
But he asks them how to get to, I forget the name of the town, but they're like,
Bifrost. He tells them he's in Bifrost, Mr. Howe is in Bifrost, Manitoba.
Yeah.
And he's basically asking them how far it is.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, it's a boot. It's about 2 hours from here.
Right.
And he like takes a, you know, a pen and paper and writes down the address. They give him a pen and paper. He writes it down and takes it with him. And he makes his way to Mr. Howe's house, which is gorgeous.
It's like, yeah, one of the like prettiest houses I've ever seen. Like massive manor in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it's legit. I think he says like it took him, he was like driving for like hours and hours to get there.
Yeah.
He does get to the house. He you know, lets himself in, calls out, and Mr. Howe is waiting for him. He's expecting yeah. him, and you know, they meet, and Mr. Howe, who is played by Michael Parks,
yep.
He is in a wheelchair, like a motorized wheelchair. He offers Wallace some tea, which I'm like,
If you're ever in a stranger's house, do not accept their tea.
Don't accept their
tea.
And
it's always in tea form.
Yeah. You don't, that's a good piece of life advice, especially for women. Like, if you go somewhere, I mean, for anyone, but especially for women, like if you go somewhere and someone offers you a beverage, unless you're watching them make that shit from scratch or like.
And this is obviously a stranger.
Yeah. Like watching them pour that shit. Like you don't accept it. You accept it, but you don't drink it.
Right.
You do the polite thing and be like, oh, I actually wasn't thirsty. Like,
right.
I've done that before where I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds great. And then I don't drink it. And I'm like, sorry, I wasn't thirsty. Well, Wallace makes like two big mistakes. He says yes to the tea,
but then drinks it.
Well, he does drink it, but then he leaves the fucking room to like use the bathroom, which yes. like, why are you not keeping eyes on this man that you just met 2 seconds ago and you don't know anything about him other than he put up a thing in a bathroom
right.
offering great stories.
Which is just so far-fetched, you know?
It's crazy.
Like, if you, would you go?
To this guy's house?
Yeah, like if you're
not alone.
You that, like, exactly.
Not
like,
alone and not in the middle of the night. It's like yeah, dark out when yeah. he gets there.
Like it's just all sorts of red flags everywhere.
Yeah, and one of the biggest ones is while Wallace is in the bathroom, there's like creepy dolls and shit in the bathroom. And there's like one on top of like the toilet, like facing him. And he, like,
oh yeah,
turns it
around.
And that thing's so creepy. As soon as I saw that thing, I'm like, I'm out. I'm out of here.
I'm
like,
getting one of those to put on top of my toilet.
You're
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
God bless us, everyone. So Wallace comes out. He sits down with Mr. Howe, who prefers to go by Howard. And they start talking. And Howard's telling him, as promised.
He's giving him stories.
He's telling him stories. And they're all pretty incredible.
Yeah.
You know, he met Ernest Hemingway. Like
Ernie.
Yep. And
he was like, he met him... At before D-Day.
Yeah, he met him on a boat.
He met him on a boat. Yeah, he was like, oh, like on the beaches of blah, 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 blah. And he's like, you were at D-Day? He's like, no, before D-Day. And then mentioned it was called like Operation...
I forgot the
name.
What
was that? Operation Neptune or something?
Operation Neptune, yes.
I'm like, why does everybody think naming things after planets is cool?
Yeah. Operation Uranus.
right? Anyways, moving on. So he's telling him all these crazy, crazy stories.
He's talking how he met Ernest Hemingway. He smuggled like a bottle of booze that him and Ernest Hemingway shared on the boat.
Yeah.
And then he talks about being lost at sea.
Right.
And, you know, he was...
Wallace is looking around at all these like crazy...
He's got like artifacts.
Cool
yeah.
artifacts.
It's a beautiful home.
Yeah.
He's got like insane artifacts. And there, you know, he gets up at one point too... He sees the bottle that he has referenced in his story with Ernest Hemingway. And he's like, is that the bottle that you shared with him? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah. And Wallace goes to get up and like stumbles a little bit. He's like losing his footing.
Yeah.
And he goes over and he's looking at the bottle. And while he's looking at the bottle, he notices that there is a bone on display over the fireplace mantle. And he asks Howard about it. And Howard starts telling him the story about how it is isn't it like a walrus dick or something?
Yes.
It's like a bone.
It's a walrus penis.
It's a walrus penis. And, and you know, and Wallace asks for permission to like take it down to look at it. And, you know, they're joking. It's very crass humor. Wallace is very crass, whereas
yeah.
Howard's a little bit more refined.
Yeah.
But Howard does begin to tell him the story about how he has been lost at sea.
Yes.
And, you know, he's telling him that while lost at sea, he was essentially rescued by a walrus.
Yeah.
walrus that kind of like kept him warm with his blubber and like not nursed him back to health, but like protected him.
Yeah. And his name was Mr. Tusk.
Yes. And yeah, he affectionately names him Mr. Tusk. And I think there's like a longer name. I forget. Like it was like,
it was
some
it
like
was.
Literary figure or something.
Yeah, like, it sounds like something I name one of my animals.
All of your animals have such regal names. It's so funny. Right. That's like when you do your impression of Thelma and it's like, if she sounds like doo 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 doo. And I'm like, she probably actually sounds like Judy Dench. Like,
right? I wish. That'd be funny.
Like in her own Thelma's head, she sounds like Judy Dench.
Dame Judy Dench.
So, you know, Wallace is getting like, he's like falling asleep at the table and like trying to stay awake to like listen to this story. And finally, he just collapses.
Yep.
He's out. We get a bit of a flashback prior to him leaving for Canada, and it's where we see his girlfriend Allie for the first time. And, you know, they're fooling around a little bit because he's getting ready to go to Canada. And she's telling him that she doesn't want him to go.
Right.
She's the voice of reason.
She is.
She's explaining to him that she doesn't want him to go to Canada, not only because she doesn't want him to go without her, but also because she thinks that what he's doing is actually really mean. He's exploiting someone
He's
exploiting someone who injured themselves for profit and for laughs. And she doesn't think it's okay. And
Right. She
actually doesn't really, she's not really comfortable with the whole concept of the podcast.
She doesn't like it one bit.
Yeah, she thinks that he's selling out. And she reminds him, you know, don't you remember like old Wallace? Like the wannabe stand-up comedian who like cried at sad movies. And like,
right.
And he casually drops that like old Wallace didn't pull in $100,000 in ad revenue. And I'm like, Steph, we have to sell out.
Like, I am 100% cool with selling out.
Do you want to just sell out Bacon to the Bee Movies to the highest bidder and we'll split the profits? Like, oh man, we got to go dark. We got to go crass. We got to go disgusting. And we need to sell the fuck out.
Okay.
I want $100,000 in ad revenue.
Right.
But Allie is the voice of reason. And she keeps reminding him that, you know,
she's like, I like the old Wallace because he wasn't a huge douche.
So a question,
and, you know, not so many words.
Yeah. And she insults the mustache. She's like, also the mustache is hideous, which I'm like, good for this girl standing her ground. My question is, we've been doing this podcast for a couple years now.
Yeah.
We started it during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Has Andy, our producer, your husband, has he ever expressed any kind of like, hey, I'm not like, I don't really like what you talk about on the podcast? Or have you like, that's good.
I don't think so.
I was just thinking about that. I'm like, I wonder, like, we host a podcast, how our respective business partners feel about it. I know my business partner sometimes is like, my goodness. Oh, he also recommended that his mother listen to it. So hi, business partners, mom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice, Ashley.
Uh-oh.
All right. So anyways, yeah, no, he's never said anything. And usually if I'm like a little taken back about something one of us said, I'm like, ew, then like I'll tell him about it beforehand.
Oh, it'll
like if it needs to
bleep it.
Yeah. If it needs to be
and it's
handled.
Usually me. It's usually
Ashley.
I usually fly off the handle.
She doesn't know how to
herself. I was thinking about it because like I know my business partner listens to this and he's never been like offended or upset about anything we've talked about. He's never thought we've gone too far. If anything, I think he thinks we don't go far enough. But
right? We should.
But anyway, Allie basically like it's a flashback and she's telling him like I want to go to Canada. And he mentions to her that she can't come, not only because, like, it's going to be a quick trip, but also because Teddy, his co-host, gets, like, a little jealous when she's there. Because Teddy doesn't travel with Wallace. He doesn't like to travel with him.
Right.
He stays in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And which seems a little weird that, you know, Teddy gets, like, a little...
It's kind of telling in a way.
Yeah, well, we find out why, but...
Yeah.
But Teddy gets a little weird when Allie goes on the road with Wallace and, you know, he doesn't want to make things weird. So she stays home and so does Teddy.
Yeah.
And we will find out why. So when Wallace wakes up, he is very disoriented. He's very groggy. And he is also in like a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And Howard is there waiting in the room with him for when he gets up, and that fucking big gulp cup is still there.
I don't know if you noticed at this point, but like at this point in the movie, he wakes up and Howard, his legs are crossed.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yes. Howard, okay. who was in a wheelchair earlier in the movie, is now sitting with his legs crossed.
Well, he's sitting still in the wheelchair, and he's still, like, moving it around.
Yeah.
But his legs are crossed.
Yeah.
So.
So, a little telling.
Yeah.
It appears that someone is not who they say they are.
Anyway, so Wallace wakes up super grog.
Yeah.
And he can't feel his legs.
Yes. And, you know, Howard comes over, gives him some water that he's put in the big gulp cup.
Right.
And is explaining to him that, you know, you scared me. You passed out. I called a doctor. The doctor came and looked at you. And, you know, it looks like you were bit by a spider. A spider bit you.
A brown recluse, to be exact.
Yes, which I don't think it would. I don't think the poison would kick in that quickly. I think it
takes... a brown recluse.
No, it takes a while to do that kind of damage. You do have to get treatment right away, but it but it takes a while for that nerve damage to happen. Yeah,
it's not that.
You're not going to die.
Not from that spider bite anyway.
So he explains to Wallace, who's still kind of coming out of this fog, that, you know, you were bit by a brown recluse and the doctor in the area came and looked at you and Wallace is like, I can't feel my legs. Mm-hmm. And when he moves the blanket that's on his lap, his legs are gone.
I think only one of them.
Oh, one,
was,
you're
only
right.
One was
I'm
missing
sorry,
at
yes.
that point.
Yes. One, yeah. one leg is gone. His leg is fucking gone. It's been, like, cut off, like, above the knee. And he starts freaking the fuck out, as one would.
As, yeah. yeah. Like
within reason, he starts losing his shit.
Yes,
And Howard's telling him, well, the doctor, because the venom was going to spread to your heart, which that's not how it works, but the venom was going to spread to your heart, he had to remove your leg.
He had to amputate.
He had to amputate. Yeah. And Wallace is like, where is this doctor? I need to talk to him.
Right.
Like, why am I not in a hospital, and where is this doctor?
Right. And red flag.
And Howard has an answer for everything. Well,
he sure does.
The doctor's making his rounds, and you can't
like
go to a hospital.
His rounds?
Yeah, like...
What rounds?
Yeah, you're in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And he's telling him, and you can't go to a hospital because, like, you risk infection. So, you know, it's best that you recover here. Like, an answer for everything, which drives me fucking crazy.
And, like, not just that. It's that, like, this is... Nothing that you're saying makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like...
And Wallace is like, well, where's my phone? I have to call my family. And he's like, oh, like, I stepped on it and it broke.
No, he said... What did he say? He didn't say he stepped on it.
It broke somehow.
It broke somehow. Like, it fell or something when he was moving him and it smashed or something.
Yeah. And Wallace is like, well, can I use your phone? And he's like, oh, the doctor removed all the phones from the house so that you wouldn't be disturbed. It's like insane.
Like, what?
And Wallace
is complete insanity.
Yeah, and Wallace, who's now, like, you know, like, fully conscious, is like, this is fucking insane, and, like, I need to call somebody. Like,
right.
I have family. Like, I need to call my family. But Howard is just, like, playing it calm, and he's like, you know, we'll talk more at dinner. We're going to have dinner, you know, at 6 on the dot.
Okay, boomer.
And they do. They have dinner. And Howard is eating his food, but Wallace isn't because he can't move.
Right?
He can't fucking move.
And the best part is Howard, you're not touching your dinner. I can't move.
Yeah, he's like, I can't move.
And then...
he says it's like morphine or something.
Yeah, like, he injected it with morphine. Yeah,
and
the pain or something.
Yeah, and Wallace is like, I'm not... Like, he's like, I'm not tired. I'm immobile. You've immobilized me.
Yes.
Like,
he knows the difference.
Yeah, like, yeah, there's a big difference. And Howard basically kind of, you know, lets him in on what his ultimate plan is. Wallace starts, like, screaming, and Howard comes over and, like, smacks him to, like, get him to quiet down.
And this is where he stands up.
Yeah, he stands up and walks over.
So now you
know he's that wheelchair he is bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, he's not bound to the wheelchair.
He's not handicapped in any capacity. The wheelchair is a ruse to get people to trust him. And he gets up and he smacks Wallace to shut him up. And he kind of explains his plan, but in, like, a really weird way. Like, I know he says, Wallace is going to help him, like, figure out a question that he's been asking himself for ages. And I wrote it down because I burst out laughing, which is man indeed a walrus at heart? And I was, like, losing my shit. I was laughing so fucking hard.
Oh, yeah, all day.
And Wallace is just, like, what the fuck?
Yes. And he starts explaining that he has this suit.
Yes, he has a walrus suit.
Yes, that he made from skin.
Yes.
And he believes that Wallace would fit this suit.
Yes.
To a T.
Yes. And cool. He's essentially going to turn Wallace into Mr. Tusk.
Yes.
So that he can have his friend back.
Yeah.
Which is fucked.
It's so messed up.
But then when Wallace really doesn't have any other options because he's immobilized, the scene, like, I hate when, like, this is like one of those pet peeves of mine. Wallace just starts, like, losing his shit. He's screaming and yelling. And Howard starts doing the same thing. He starts screaming, yelling, like, mimicking him.
Yeah.
And, like, that is one of my biggest pet peeves is, like, when someone's, like,
people do that.
Like, when they start, like, repeating what you're saying or, like, mimicking you, my blood pressure rises. Like, I go fucking crazy. Yeah, it reminds me of the scene in, like, Midsommar when, like, she's crying and all the women are, like, like, wailing with her. And I'm, like, stop.
It's pretty awful.
That night, we go back to Allie, who's back home in Los Angeles. And Allie is... You know, she at first I thought she was like making like a YouTube video. It looked like she was like looking directly into the camera, like she was recording
she's
something.
Talking.
But she's talking to somebody.
Yeah.
And she's telling them that, you know, it's this monologue essentially about how her relationship with Wallace isn't working.
Yeah.
She knows that he cheats on her.
Yeah.
And that's why he never takes her anywhere. She never gets to go on the road with him. It has nothing to do with the podcast. It has everything to do with the fact that he's cheating.
Yeah.
And she's, like, really ashamed of herself that, like, she's still with somebody.
With him.
And then you think, like, she's talking to, like, a camera. But then she, like, kind of turns her attention to somebody off camera. And she's telling this person, like, you know, she can't live without this person that's with her.
Right.
And, like, she wants to tell Wallace that, you know, she's leaving him for this person, but she can't. And, like, we see, like, a guy's hand come up and he's, like, holding her chin because she's, like, crying. And she's very emotional. So, you know, and you're thinking to yourself, like, oh, okay, so Wallace cheats. So he's a bigger scumbag than
you initially even thought, right?
Yes, but apparently Allie's cheating too.
Well, so it's like, takes one, you know, it takes all kinds, especially if you're not in a happy relationship.
Exactly.
Like, what's, you know, unfortunately that's going to happen.
But at one point,
as opposed to just breaking up.
Yeah. So Allie is clearly, like, with someone else, like, confessing that, like, she hates Wallace and she wants to break up with him, but she can't.
Right.
We go back to Wallace, and he hears his phone ringing. So his phone was not destroyed. He's got a very distinct ringtone.
Yes. Obviously, that's purposeful.
Yeah.
But he does hear it
going
off. So I believe Howard at this point, like, he's gone, like, he's asleep or something. And Wallace is able to wheel himself to his phone.
Yes, he finds his cell phone, and... It was Allie calling to see, like, if he made it okay because she hadn't heard from him.
Right.
And he doesn't get to answer in time, but he calls her back. But at this point, she's already plugged her phone in, like, in her bathroom.
She's in another room.
Yeah, and she went to another room.
And, of course, it's on vibrator.
Yeah, so she doesn't hear it going off when Wallace calls her. And he leaves a message. It goes to her voicemail. And he leaves a message with, like, really pertinent information.
Yes. And
which is really smart. Yeah, he's a really smart move where he's like, I'm with this guy, Howard Howe. He lives, like, you know, I think he's, like, up in Manitoba somewhere.
Yeah.
He cut my leg off, like, you know, and he gets, like, really emotional. You actually feel really bad for him. It's, like, really
sad. Well, at that point, yeah.
It's really sad.
Like, he is getting screwed here.
Yeah. So he, you know, he leaves this message with as much information as he can provide and basically begs Allie. He's like, I want to see you again. Like, I'm really scared and I want to see you again.
Right.
And he hangs up and then he tries calling Teddy, his co-host.
With the same thing.
Yeah, and he leaves, like, also another voicemail, you know, with Teddy. Teddy doesn't answer his phone, and he leaves a similar message giving him as much information as he can. Cut back to Allie, who's telling this unknown person, go brush your teeth and come back to bed. And the person she's with, that she's having an affair with, is Teddy.
Obviously.
They are sleeping together. And Teddy goes into the bathroom to brush his teeth. Doesn't see his phone going off.
The thing is, I think he did see his phone going off.
Oh.
But he ignored it.
Yeah.
Because
he's
sleeping with his girlfriend.
Yeah, he's sleeping with his friend's girlfriend. He doesn't want to get caught.
So he just ignores it, which sucks.
Yeah.
Because that would have given him like 24 more hours to get to where he needed to be. Yeah. But
so while Wallace is leaving this message for Teddy, Howard comes into the room behind him and knocks him out. He like sees what he's doing and knocks him out. So the voicemail gets cut off. But I did think that it was like really smart to leave that kind of like, his name is this, I'm here.
Right, because you don't know what's going to happen. If he's going to be able to reach his phone again.
So the next morning, Allie gets up and goes to the bathroom and she sees that she has like missed calls and she starts listening to the voicemail and she hears
this message
and like immediately wakes Teddy up and she's like, he called you too. And they're listening to the messages like, holy shit.
Right.
Now, I don't know like time frame wise how long Wallace has been with Howard. Like, it seems like it's just like it's a couple of days. Like, but Howard has made some progress on turning Wallace into a fucking walrus. Progress.
He's determined and motivated. So I think at this point, do we see Wallace a little bit more mutilated?
Yes. Like his like arms.
So gross. It's giving me the heebs and the jeebs.
Like his legs have been like, his leg has been like fused into like a fin. Mm-hmm. And his arms have been like fused into his sides.
Yeah. They're sewn. Like the upper arm into like his armpit.
Yeah.
And against his side.
Yeah. And he's like unconscious while this is happening. Yeah. Thank God. But Howard is like telling him more stories about his life, which is what he promised to do. Like, and he's stitching them together like a fucking walrus. And I forget the story that he's telling him. He reveals a little bit more about his relationship with Mr. Tusk and what happened. Right. So,
like he talks about his childhood.
Yeah, and how he was abused. And
he was one of the Duplessis orphans.
Yes.
Very, very straight up story.
Yeah.
But it does explain Howard being so messed in the head.
Yeah.
So there's that.
He is a traumatized, crazy person.
Yes.
So while this is happening, you know, he's essentially turning Wallace into a walrus. And now Allie and Teddy are en route to Canada to try and find him. And one of my favorite things is Allie's on the phone with the police and she's explaining like the message that was left. And you hear the guy ask, like, do you have any recent photos of him? Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, you can see him on the website. It's the Nazi party.
Right. And Teddy's just like, spell it. Spell it.
And the cop hangs up on her before.
Right.
But they do go to the police station and play the voicemails for them. And the guy offers to just, you know, Canadians being kind of the Canadian police, the Mounties being a little useless, explain that there's really nothing that they can do. There's no record of a Howard Howe anywhere in Manitoba.
Yeah. Like they were just going to do the whole like missing person report.
Yeah.
But they didn't really know where else to go with it. But they did give a card.
They gave Allie and Teddy
a card.
Yeah. And they explained that there is someone who is investigating a potential serial killer in the area. It's like a detective or a private investigator, something along those lines. I forget what the actual title is. But this guy is like trying to find a potential serial killer in Canada or what they think, you know, there's no serial killers in Canada, but this guy seems to think there is. So, which is kind of funny.
Well, there is Howard Howe.
When we next see Wallace, like while Allie and Teddy are trying to close in on his location and trying to find where he is, the next time we see Wallace, he's got tusks now. Like I think his leg bones were used to like
his tibia.
His tibia was used to make tusks.
Yes,
that had been fused into his face. And at
this point, is he in the suit?
He's in like the walrus suit.
Right.
Well, Wallace is. He's now essentially a walrus. Like he has been turned into a walrus. He's been mutilated. But what I don't understand is I wanted to know because he's in what appears to be like a sequarium, like that you would see at like Mystic Aquarium or something where they train the seals. And I'm like, what does this guy do where he can afford a sequarium in his house? He's got like
You've seen the house.
It is a beautiful home. I'm just wondering, like, what do you do to have that in your house? To have, like, an area where you train, like, dolphins?
I don't know, dude. are you interested in one of those?
I would love to have a aquarium in my house.
I mean, it'd be pretty cool. But It is also worth mentioning that the way that this suit is put on to Wallace in such a way where, since it's skin, that he basically is going to heal into the suit.
Yes.
Which makes it, like, he can't, like, there's no way to turn him back to normal, essentially.
Yeah, he's going to be fused into the suit.
Yeah.
Howard does, like, Howard's sharing a little bit more with Wallace. Like, he tests his swimming capabilities, and Wallace, like, is having a really hard time swimming.
Obviously.
Howard tells him a little bit more about his time with Mr. Tusk, and I think it's revealed that, like, at one point, like, there was no food, so Howard had to...
He killed Mr. Tusk to eat.
Yeah, he had... And then he was rescued.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where it's like, oh, if you had waited, like, an hour, you wouldn't have to kill your walrus.
Like the mist.
The best ending ever. So Howard, in his story, had to kill Mr. Tusk for survival and has not been able to forgive himself. So now he's trying to essentially recreate his friend to give him the chance that the real Mr. Tusk never got to have.
Yeah.
He does.
Insane.
He leaves a mackerel.
Yeah, because he's trying to basically teach Wallace how to be a walrus.
Yes.
So walrus has got to eat. So he throws, like, a mackerel at him.
Yeah. And Wallace eats it because he's hungry. Like, he does eat it. And Howard's satisfied with this. It's, like, one step closer to what he's looking for. Meanwhile, Allie and Teddy meet up with this detective / private investigator who's trying to track down the serial killer.
Guy Lapointe.
Yes. And they are at, like, a burger joint. Mm-hmm. And
the Ghibli slider.
Yes.
The one thing Quebec does not have, Ghibli sliders.
And we meet this eccentric man who is played by none other than Johnny fucking Depp.
The legend.
The legendary Johnny Depp. And I could not fucking believe it. I had to pause it and I was like, that can't be. But, like, the accent and, like, the mannerisms.
The mannerisms
sell it. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's fucking Johnny Depp. Like, Johnny Depp is in this movie.
Yeah.
And I hate how fucking funny he is. Johnny Depp has been, like, ousted as, like, not being a particularly great guy. Like, he's not a decent man by any means.
Right. But he is a funny-ass man.
He's fucking so funny in this.
I'm watching this, and I've seen this before. Like, I knew he was in it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's been a while since, like, I think I watched it the first time in 2014. But I feel like this character stops the movie dead in its tracks.
Oh, the movie comes to a screeching halt. And I think it's to give people like me who are watching it the first time a chance to recover. to recover from the shock of, like, oh my God, it's Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
And, like, his lines in this movie are so funny. He's basically talking about how he has been tracking a serial killer who's been mutilating people.
Right.
And he explains, like, the mutilations that he's found. And one of my favorite lines, and I wrote it down, there's a couple of fucking great lines. But he tells Allie, like, about one of the mutilations, and he's like, it is one fuck of a bummer to look at. Like, that like, I was dying. And then we get a flashback where he's investigating this missing hockey player. There's, like, a hockey player that has gone missing.
Yes.
And he traces this guy, he, like, retraces this missing guy's steps to the door of this cabin in the woods. I don't think it's the manor. Oh, it is the manor. Is it? I can't remember if he goes to a cabin or the manor.
This is when he goes to meet this other guy.
He encounters Howard.
That was not a different location, I believe. He was in a cabin, I believe.
Okay. He encounters Howard, who gives a different name.
Yeah.
And the name that he gives is the name of the doctor from earlier in the movie that he's telling Wallace, like, oh, Dr. So-and-so came and cut your leg off. Mm-hmm. He gives that as his name.
Yeah.
And he's using, like, a different accent and everything when he's talking to Johnny Depp's character, this detective. And they're going back and forth, and he explains, like, oh, you know, are you here to kill are you here to kill the spider in my bathroom? I called the police.
He was talking about a brown recluse.
Yeah, it's like he reuses different elements of his story to hide his identity.
Yeah.
And he's telling the detective, are you here to kill the brown recluse that's in my bathroom? I called the police and they said they would send somebody out within a couple of days to take care of it for me. And what is his character's name? Johnny Depp's character's?
Guy Lepoix
explains that, like, no, he's not there to kill the spider. He's looking for a missing hockey player.
Yeah.
And they start talking. And another great line is Howard's current identity. He asks Guy Lepoix if he can use his gun on the spider. And he says, no. I'm not authorized to discharge a weapon at a bug. So good. Right? Like, I was just cackling throughout this whole fucking process. Like, in this whole part of this movie, I was just dying. But Guy Lepoix explains to Allie and Teddy, he's like, I believe that the man that I spoke to that day, I believe that the hockey player was in his home while I was on the porch talking to him.
Yeah.
I believe he is the serial killer.
Yeah.
He's talking about the facial mutilations, the leg bones being fused into.
Yes, like he knew that the bone there was his own.
Yes. And he explains to them, he goes, he doesn't know that Howard's trying to make a walrus, but he does believe there's some, like, Frankenstein shit going on.
Yes.
He's like, I think he's trying to make a monster. I think that's all he's trying to do.
Yeah.
So they get into the rental car that Teddy and Allie have obtained in Canada. And, you know, he's talking about, like, well, you know, what would your friend who knows this gentleman the best, and Allie's like, I would, like, that's my boyfriend. And he's like, well, what does he do in the car? No one just sits in the car and drives. People listen to music, they mm-hmm. play on their phones. Like, what does he do? And she explains, because they're retracing the steps, that he likes those big gulp drinks. Like, yes. That's his thing.
those novelty, large, convenience store drinks.
Yes.
Whatever they are. He's really into those for whatever reason. Yes.
So they retrace, they listen to the voicemail and they retrace the steps and they end up back at the convenience store where he got it.
Yeah.
And where Harley Quinn Smith and Lily Rose Depp are still mm-hmm. working, mm-hmm. and they get a flashback where there's a little bit more detail mm-hmm. about their interaction with Wallace while he was there, because when we first see it, it's pretty quick.
Yeah.
But there's more information. Like, they explain, like, oh, he wrote an address on this pad of paper.
Yes.
And
he asked them where Bifrost was.
Yeah. And so they're giving this information to Allie, Teddy, and Guy Lepoix. And Guy Lepoix says, well, do you have that pad of paper? And they give it to him. Mm-hmm. And he takes a pencil and he starts doing, like, the, you know.
The rubbing. Yeah.
And Teddy goes, oh, it's like the Big Lebowski. and Guy Lepoix goes, that's exactly where I learned it. It's so fucking funny. It's so goddamn funny.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So now they have an address. They have Howard's address. While they're en route to Howard's, Wallace is in his little, like, sequarium. And Howard comes in and he has his own walrus suit. That he's going to put on.
Yeah, it's like a, but it's more like a pelt
yeah.
kind of thing. Like, it's just like skins, yeah. like fur skins, you know?
But he puts it on because, and this was where I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, this just took, like, I mean, this movie's already weird, but it, like, takes such it's such a bizarre twist where Howard puts on this, like, pelt, this Wallace pelt, mm-hmm. and he explains to Wallace, like, now you're going to learn how to fight like a walrus, because Mr. Tusk, I didn't give him the chance to defend mm-hmm. himself. I'm going to give you the chance to defend yourself. And, like,
and he keeps just calling him Mr. Tusk.
Yeah, and Justin Long, with his credit, like, his facial expressions in this, like, he emotes very, like, good with his eyes.
Yeah.
He just has this look of, like, what the fuck? Like, the entire time. It's
yeah.
It's so good. Wallace and Howard in this pelt thing, they start duking it out like walruses. They start, like, hitting each other with their tusks and, like,
yes, like,
like, slamming into each other.
Yep.
Like, it's fucking insane. It's insane. While this is happening, Guy Lepoix, Teddy, and Allie get to the manor.
Yes, they do manage to get there.
And another great line, like, again, I cannot stress enough, I fucking hate how funny Johnny Depp is in this. He's so goddamn funny in this, and it's like, I'm laughing hysterically while I'm watching this, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, but he's such a bad person in real life. Like, it's so hard. It's so hard to, like, make peace with that. But
he's good at his craft.
I was gonna say, you know what I watched the other day, and I had, like, that same thought? I watched The Patriot, It was just on.
Gibson.
Like, Mel Gibson is such a horrible, I cannot stress enough.
Horrible human being.
He's a horrible human being. No redeemable qualities.
Not one.
God damn, that guy's a good actor. Like, it really bothers me.
It's bothersome.
Like, it's bothersome. Like, his movies are fucking great. Like, his older movies. His new movies are terrible. But, like, his older movies, like, The Patriot, like, Ransom.
Ransom.
Like, Braveheart's kind of trash, but, like, I wasn't a big fan of Braveheart. But, like, Ransom and The Patriot. But I watched The Patriot and the part where Heath Ledger dies in the movie and Mel Gibson's character has, like, that fucking nervous breakdown. Like, he's just, like, so expressive. And I'm like, God, why did you have to be such a trash person? Like,
you could have
just kept churning out movies like this and I would have paid to go see them. Like,
right. Yeah.
Had I not known, like, what a terrible fucking monster you are.
Yeah, he's pretty awful.
But when I back to another terrible person. So Ilapois, like he has like a he's unloading like guns to bring into this manor because it's going to be dangerous. And he goes to hand Teddy and Allie each like a little revolver. They each get a gun and they're just like looking at him and they're like, what are you doing? And
that's
he's like these, you know, take these guns. And they're like, we don't want guns. He's like, what kind of fucking Americans are you? Which is hilarious. Yeah. Hilarious. I hate how funny he is. But ultimately, Allie takes the gun. Teddy doesn't want one. Yeah. And Ilapois has like the big shotgun.
Yes.
He's like, the big one is for me. And they go into the manor like while this fight is happening. And Allie and Teddy can hear.
They can hear it.
They can hear, like, the commotion through the walls.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out, like, where it's coming from. They can hear Wallace, like, yelling. And it still sounds like Wallace.
Yes. He can't speak. It was his tongue was removed.
He had his tongue removed, yeah.
So, basically, all Howard wanted him to do was basically bay like walruses would.
Yeah.
Exactly what he's doing. However, he still has his own particular voice.
Yeah, so you know? it sounds
like him still, so they know he's there.
At one point, Wallace does get the upper hand on Howard, and he's, like, furious that this has happened to him. Like, he's just like, it's fight or flight, and he uses his tusks to essentially disembowel Howard.
Yeah, he just stabs him, like, with the tusks. Like,
over right and over. Yeah, like, there's chest.
Yeah.
And, like, his stomach and everything. And Howard bleeds out. He dies. And no sooner does Wallace, like, kill Howard.
But he has fulfilled his life mission.
It's true.
You know.
Well, now Wallace is truly a walrus.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
It's unbelievable.
It's so funny and so stupid.
So they do find him.
Allie and Teddy come in and they see what Wallace has been turned into.
Mm-hmm.
And Allie's like devastated. Teddy's just horrified. And Ilapois comes in.
He's ready to shoot him.
He's ready to put him out of his misery.
Yeah.
But then we get the final scene.
Mm-hmm.
Where.
We don't actually see him shoot.
We don't hear a gunshot. We don't see him shoot.
Yeah, it just pans to the next scene.
The next scene. And there is like a. It's not really an aquarium, but it's.
It's like a wildlife refuge.
Yeah, like a refuge center.
Yeah.
And
in Canada.
And Allie and Teddy are going into this refuge center, like this animal rescue location. And she's carrying like some rolled up newspaper under her arm for a very specific reason. And I knew what it was. I was like, obviously. Oh, I know what that is.
Yeah.
And they go to this enclosure with a pool and like a little, looks like a little igloo.
Igloo, yeah.
And they're calling out to Wallace. Thinking, Wallace, we're here. And she takes out a piece of fish and from the newspaper and throws it. And Wallace comes out to eat the fish. And she gets his attention. Like, she yells his name and he finally kind of, like, looks up at her.
Yeah.
And we get, like, another flashback where it's them before he left for Canada. And she's explaining, like, you know, she misses how he used to be sensitive.
Right.
And she's like, you know, I miss when you used to, like, cry about things. You don't cry anymore. And she's explaining this story about, like, her grandfather, you know, when he lost his wife, like, was, like, crying. And she, you know, she told him, like, oh, you don't have to cry. It'll be okay. And he was like, no, crying is what separates us from animals.
Right.
And then it, like, cuts back to this scene where they're, like, looking at each other. And she tells him, like, oh, I love you.
Yeah.
And he starts crying because he's, like, still a person.
Right.
But he's, you know, he's going to eat his fish. And
live out his days in this.
In this enclosure.
Yeah.
And Allie and Teddy leave, and Wallace is, like, crying, you know, while he's eating his fish. And And one thing that there's not like a whole lot of music in this movie, but no. I will say that during the fight scene, they were playing a Fleetwood Mac song, which yep. was fucking hilarious.
It was so good.
But that's the end of Tusk, is that this is now Wallace's life. He's going to live in this enclosure for however many years he has left.
Yeah. It's actually quite sad.
It's got a sad ending. It's I was like, oh, that's like sad, super sad.
It's got a sad ending.
For a movie that had like a lot of really funny fucking parts, like the ending was like, oh, that's like, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
yeah. So that's Tusk. A body count on this one, I had one. I had Howard and that was it.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anybody else. Nope. Okay. What would you give this movie as a star rating?
Oh, geez. I'd probably give it like a 2.7. Good, not great.
Oh, man. I feel foolish.
Why?
I'm giving it 4 stars.
4?
I fucking
really?
Loved it. I fucking okay. loved it. I loved it.
Okay.
I loved well, this that's movie. Good. It was so insane. It's like great use of like props and like, mm-hmm. you know, practical effects.
Yeah.
Great body horror. Like, yes, you don't get a lot of good body horror
yeah,
movies.
It is definitely, I will agree with you, it's one of the better body horror movies out there.
And Justin Long puts in a hell of a performance. Like,
oh,
he's,
yeah,
great.
He's great.
He's great in this. Johnny Depp's cameo, as much as I dislike Johnny Depp, fucking hilarious. Like, it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. So funny. It did make the movie come to a screeching halt, but in, like, the best way possible. I was like, okay, like, this is funny comedic relief. And also, it's shocking that Johnny Depp is doing this. Like...
he's a weird dude.
He is very weird. But yeah, 4 stars. I'd absolutely watch this again in a heartbeat. I loved it. Do you have any fun tidbits about this movie? I'm sure there's a few.
Well, written and directed by Kevin Smith.
Bless him.
based on a story from his Smodcast podcast.
Okay.
So that's where it actually initially came from. The budget was $3 million. Box office was 1.9.
Aww.
Yeah. Well, the first of Smith's planned trilogy. So this is a trilogy.
What were the other two?
Yoga Hosers, and the third one isn't out yet.
Okay.
So Yoga Hosers, I want to say, is more of a spinoff kind of thing with
gotcha.
Following the. The girls there, Lily.
The clerks, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, but yeah. It premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival before it was released. And it was Smith's first major wide release since Cop Out in 2010.
Okay.
Let's see. I don't know if I have anything else here. So the idea from his... I don't know if it was episode 259 called The Walrus and the Carpenter. This is where it came from.
The podcast you're talking
about? Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And the episode with his, he's talking to Scott Mosier. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right. discussing an article featuring a Gumtree ad where a homeowner was offering a living situation free of charge if the lodger agrees to dress as a walrus. I was set in Bitfrost. Bifrost. Fun fact, Tarantino was actually considered for playing Lapointe.
That would have been amazing too.
Right?
I could absolutely see Quentin Tarantino.
But Tarantino had no interest in acting at the time.
I could absolutely see Quentin Tarantino doing that role. he would have been good in that as well.
It was released on September 19th, 2014, and was declared a bomb.
Oh, this movie's great. This is so fun.
So the consensus on it was mixed, mostly. 46% on Rotten Tomatoes. The Seattle Times, based on Smith's own podcast, most disgusting and pointless movie I've ever seen. Emphasis on pointless.
Man, that guy must be fun at parties.
right? I spent half the movie sick to my stomach. So
maybe don't go see a horror movie if you can't handle it?
It's not just that. It's just, like, not...
It's not that gross.
So...
It's not that gross.
People are not... Body horror is very specific.
But, like, this isn't even, like, if this was Saw, I could see somebody being like, oh, my God, like, I can't, it's disgusting. This wasn't that bad. Like, in terms of, like,
not compared,
in terms
like,
of, like, gore and shit, this wasn't
like,
bad at
like
all.
Like, body horror is pretty, out there.
Has this person watched Human Centipede?
I know, right? Like, geez. Probably not. Like, I like body horror, but it does gross me out. Like,
some of it does, gross. Yeah.
Crave Online criticized the film's failed humor and excessive runtime and said the film killed irony.
Jesus Christ.
Right? Although, The Guardian, complimenting Smith returning to his snarky best.
Yes.
Right? IGN, funny, strange, disquieting, and occasionally gory.
Yeah. I don't think it was that gory.
It wasn't really. There was blood, obviously, but it wasn't squirting out everywhere.
Yeah, it wasn't like, you don't, like, when you don't see him cut off Wallace's leg. You see the aftermath.
Yeah, you see, like, the stitches and
like, you
stuff.
See him, like, stitching them together, but it doesn't actually, it's just him. You don't see him, like, actually stitching him together. It's, like, just a shot of Howard, like, from the shoulders up explaining his story of, like, how he was, like, raised in an orphanage and shit. Like,
right.
Like, there's really nothing gory about
not
it.
Really,
like,
it's, no. The Chicago Sun-Times. Uniquely twisted, but there is a part of me that wishes I could unsee it.
I mean,
it's just a body horror thing. If you're not used to it,
I'd watch like, this 10 more times. I fucking loved
like,
it.
If you're not used to it, I can 100% understand why you would be turned off by it. Like, I like body horror, but it took me a little while to like it.
Yeah.
You know? Actually, we're doing one of my favorite body horror movies this season as well.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Won't spoil it.
I'm not gonna. So the second installment is a spinoff called Yoga Hosers, following Lily Rose Depp's character in Harley Quinn Smith. I'm not sure what they do, where they go, what it's about. I've never seen it. But the third installment is called, or will be called, it's not out yet, Moose Jaws.
Okay.
Basically Jaws, but with a moose.
Hilarious.
I'm in, 100%.
I'll tell you what, man, Kevin Smith has made some incredible movies.
I have, like, mixed feelings about
Dogma
him.
Dogma is untouchable. That movie's fucking fantastic.
So, he just recently got the rights back from Weinstein.
My uncle, he has it on DVD, and he lent it to me. I still have it. I'm like, I haven't, like, watched Dogma in years because you can't fucking find it anywhere.
Because Weinstein had it.
Yeah.
Like, he owned it. So, now it's back, like, Kevin Smith has it back. So, now it should be coming out on streaming.
Oh, my God. Dogma is fucking fantastic. Dogma is a perfect cast, a perfect story. It's hilarious. It's so good. Yeah. Oh my god. I like Clerks 1. Clerks 2, not as much as Clerks 1, but Clerks 2 does have some really funny scene. Like the whole like Lord of the Rings versus Star Wars scene is fucking hilarious. There's been times where I just randomly think of, I just made a Lord of the Rings fan so mad he threw up. one of my favorite lines. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back Carrie Fisher's cameo in Jay and Silent Bob, Judd Nelson showing up in Jay and Silent Bob, fucking hilarious. The movie itself's not great. It's the cameos that made, like, Ben Affleck, like, reprising his role a couple times, Matt Damon showing up for the that whole scene where they're doing Good Will Hunting 2.
Yeah,
it's so fucking funny. Kevin Smith has made like Dogma to me is like one of his best movies.
Yeah, I think,
and then like there's other
I
ones.
Think the masses would probably agree with you.
Yeah, and then there's other ones that are just like have funny bits, but overall I'm like I'm not really. I'm not super into this. Like I didn't see Clerks 3. I have no interest. No. I didn't see Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. I had no interest. But this, I really fucking enjoyed this. I really like this. Was there anything else about this movie that?
No, not that I really could pick up on.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I thought it actually was kind of drawn out in parts here and there, but not too much.
Yeah.
Like, not so much where I'd turn it off, you know?
Yeah.
Especially if you're invested in this movie where, like, oh, so they're going to turn him into a walrus.
Like, I'm in.
I mean, the curiosity spark is enough to keep you watching.
Oh, yeah. That. Like, wait, when I was reading the premise of it, I was like, wait, what? Okay. Like, I'm in. I'm sold. Like, this is insane. Yeah. This is so insane. It's great. It's very creative. I love this movie.
Yeah. It's bizarre.
I watched this on Prime. I don't know. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So it is available on Prime right now.
Yeah.
Like, Fandango or whatever. Like,
yeah, like, wherever you would rent the movie, you can get it.
So this week you took on the recipe and I was like, oh, is she making poutine? We're going to have some poutine?
No, we're not having poutine. I did take on the recipe. And let's just say that I wasn't, I kind of almost kicked myself in the ass where I was just like, okay, so I'm going to do this. That's really ambitious. I've never even had it before. I don't know why I've never had it before. So with this being in Canada, I was able to come up with and find information about a stuffed calamari recipe,
okay,
which actually comes from Newfoundland, which is not where this movie takes place, but it is Canada, so we're like, sure, why not?
Yeah.
I've never had stuffed calamari, which is weird because stuffed shrimp, stuffed scallops, stuffed clams, all those things
honestly,
are great.
I don't think I've had it either. I've had fried calamari. I've never had like any other type of calamari, so this ought to be.
I mean, I've had it, you know, a bunch of different ways, but never stuffed.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm just going to, it's very ambitious. I know that it's like octopus. Like if you cook it just the second too long, it's going to be rubbery. So we'll see how that comes out. But let's talk about what I'm stuffing these shits with. Okay. So you have your squid, right?
Okay.
And you stuff the hoods, obviously. So what I did is I soaked the hoods in Caesar dressing for a little while.
All right.
And I made a stuffing of onion, garlic, prosciutto, white wine, breadcrumbs, egg, obviously, sage, and parsley. So you saute your onions and your garlic. Mm-hmm. You know, you chop it all up or whatever. Oh, and also the tentacles of the squid is in the stuffing.
Okay.
So when I eat squid, I never eat the tentacle parts. Andy loves that stuff, but I'm just like, that's just too much for me.
I don't think I've ever had it. And now that I know I'm about to eat it, I'm like, oh,
it's cut up.
Shit.
It's cut up. I cut it up.
Oh my goodness.
I cut it up.
This
so
is
it's
very,
not like,
very ambitious. I applaud you for taking this on.
I'm like last week, I'm like, how the hell am I going to pull this off?
I didn't get a text from you prior to recording this where you're like, fuck it, I'm doing poutine. I was waiting for it. I was waiting for like, fuck this, I'm gonna do this instead, because I've done that where I'm like, I can't, fuck this sucks, I'm doing something else.
Yeah, well, I am a woman of my word, so let's try it. You know, also I consider myself better than the average cook.
You're very
so
good cook. Yeah,
we'll, you know, we'll see. It smelled good when I was making it, but anyways. So I actually prepared it this morning so I can just pop them in the oven. So you saute your onions and your garlic, as one would, in oil. And then you add to that your prosciutto and the other squid tentacle bits. Meanwhile, the prosciutto and that is also cut up to pieces.
Yeah.
Okay. So you saute that all up. When it's done, throw it in a bowl, add the breadcrumbs, add the herbs. You deglaze the pan with some white wine.
Mm-hmm.
Pour that in the stuffing, mix it all up, and stuff the hoods. I use toothpicks to close them.
Okay.
Soak your toothpicks before you do it so they don't catch on fire in your oven or whatever.
Yeah.
Normally, I would be grilling this, but we are in a red flag here in Massachusetts because we haven't had rain for like three months.
I was going to say, it hasn't rained. For those of you who don't know what a red flag is, we are having brush fires. Like, I've never seen like an outbreak of brush fires. Like,
not here.
Yeah, never here. This is like a California problem.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, uh-oh, global warming, it's a-coming. Yeah, we've had like three massive brush fires out by me.
Yeah.
So we're not allowed to like, there's no outdoor burning, there's no grilling, you can't do anything. Yeah. So
normally I would be grilling this because that just sounds delightful.
That does sound good.
But I will not be. I will be just putting it in my oven and hopefully I can get this, whatever.
I think it's good. Be
so 450, however long it takes to cook the calamari, I guess. I'm not sure. I really don't know. I've never actually cooked calamari before. I cook shrimp and lobster and all sorts of, like, seafoods and fishes and all that sorts of things. I've never cooked calamari.
I'm sure it's going to be fine.
Calamari is not a shellfish. It is a cephalopod. I don't know. We'll see. It'll be fine.
We We hope. We think.
And then I'm going to, you know, baste it with, like, a mix of lemon juice, oil, and some oregano.
Nice. So that recipe is going to be up on our Instagram. Again, that's at Baking to the Bee Movies. That'll go up when this episode goes live. So you guys can try this at home. And if you have any recommendations for, like, calamari, because, like, you've never cooked calamari, but, like, I've never.
No, so a week ago.
I rarely eat it, so I'm excited.
Well, like, usually, so Andy loves it so much. Like, it's one of his favorite things. So whenever we go out to eat, more often than not, he's going to get the calamari appetizer, which is good. It's fine. I enjoy calamari, too. It's not my favorite thing in the world, but it's all right.
It's like, edible.
I'd rather eat shrimp.
It's edible.
But, yeah, it's perfectly fine. But I've never cooked it. So he comes home like a week ago with a frozen thing of 2 pounds of it.
Jesus
and I'm like, what
Christ.
The hell am I going to do with 2 pounds of this? He's like, well, eat it, obviously. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, is it already cleaned? Like, am I going to have to take the tentacles out and the beak? You know, because they have beaks, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, am I going to have black ink all over my kitchen? And he's like, no. It's already cleaned and disassembled and this and that. I'm like, so there are tentacles in there. He's like, yes. Okay. All right. So now I have all this calamari that I don't know what
to
do with.
So fuck it, we'll do it live.
Right? Exactly. So I have all this leftover calamari, like a pound of it, essentially.
Deep fry that shit.
So, right? I'm going to have to do something with it. Otherwise, it's going to sit in my freezer forever.
No.
Right?
Yeah, deep fry that shit.
Well, there is another recipe that I'll be doing for this podcast this season that I might have to use it.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll try this one and we'll make that determination after we try this based on this
baby steps.
But yeah, you guys can check out the recipe on our Instagram. And like I said, if you want to give us like recommendations for calamari, if you're like,
yeah, because I have like a pound of it I need to use.
Yeah, just, if you got any recommendations for Steph, hit us up, bakingtothebeemovies@gmail.com. Let her know and, you know, we'll see what comes up. We'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So earlier, like a couple weeks ago, Andy was asking, he's like, oh, so what are you making this time? And it was like, oh, stuffed calamari. He's like, oh, you're not just going to make some walrus steaks?
What?
And I'm like, well, Andy, you find me a walrus and I'll make those steaks. He's like, that's cool. I'll be right back. I got to go club myself a seal.
Gonna say you're gonna hear about like Mystic Aquarium, like the walrus has gone missing at Mystic, like
right.
No one knows where
right.
it is,
right? Like no, we're not gonna go club seal.
There's just a big tarp over the back of your truck, and Andy's in the back of the truck's dragging while Andy's driving.
Right. Oh my god, so great.
Oh my god.
So I have a question for you though.
Yeah, what's up?
So if you found, you know, like a random letter, intriguing letter. Would you, even if there was, like, say, us together.
Okay.
Would we follow that letter?
If somebody had a letter, like, in the bathroom saying, like, I'll tell you amazing stories or whatever. If I went with you and we called, like, the police ahead of time and been like, hey, like, FYI.
If you don't hear from us in an hour, please send somebody.
Yeah, like, this is where we'll be. If we don't answer our phones or anything, this is where we are. I would tell, like, my whole family, like, I will be here. If you don't hear from me.
But what if it was, like, you weren't necessarily planning on going there? It was just a random thing.
Even still. I'm so overtly cautious because there's so many, there's so many fucking crazy people in the world. Like, you never, like, there's insane people everywhere. And there's nefarious people everywhere. I'm not saying the whole world is like that. But, like, the world, like, let's be real. We are recording this, you know, a few days after a certain thing. The world has gone fucking crazy. The world's gone nuts. I'm beside myself with it. Like, oh my, how did we get here? But here we are. And we're just going to power through it. But I am highly suspicious of most people. And I feel like if I saw this random letter and it was like, oh, I'll tell you like an amazing story or whatever. Like I would be calling everybody to let them know like, hey, this is the bathroom that I picked up this letter. This is where I'm going. This is the guy's phone number.
You know what would happen? You'd call your mom and you'd be like, hey, ma, the bubble, you know, A, B, C, D and whatever. And then she'd be like, no, Ashley, you get your ass home right now.
And
you crazy, crazy girl.
Well, that's why I don't call my mom. That's why I don't talk to my mom that often.
Then who would you call?
I wouldn't do it alone. Absolutely not. Okay. I would never do it alone.
Yeah.
God, no. But if I were, like, if you were with me and we were like, well, let's go check out this thing, but we're going to call Andy. I'm going to call my business partner.
Yeah, you know what would happen? Andy'd be like, no. You get your ass home right now.
My business partner would be like, have fun. Yeah, right? Be safe. Have fun.
Let me know how it goes. Take lots of pics.
Let me know how it goes. No, I would call the authorities in, like, that area and be like, hey, like, this person's advertising this thing.
So I'm going to go check it out. Another question, though. If you feel the need to call the authorities, why would you go?
An abundance of caution, because it could end up being something like real. Like, you ever heard those like hiking stories, like where somebody's like, I'm gonna go for a hike, and then like their leg gets trapped or something, and then they have to like chew through their leg? Like,
no,
just crazy. I'm saying, like, crazy shit like that happens, and the reason it happens is because people don't keep other people informed. Like, you, if you're,
and they do it by themselves,
and they do it by themselves.
Always, always have like someone with you.
Always have somebody with you when you do this crazy shit. Like, if you're gonna go for a crazy hike, if you're gonna go mountain climbing, if you're gonna fucking go listen to some dude tell you stories about how he was lost at sea, have somebody with you. Don't drink anything that's provided to you. And make sure that you're letting people know, like, where you go. Like, let family and friends know at all. Like, I will be here between this time and this time. This is the address. This is the phone number. This is the name he gave. You call the...
This is who I'm with.
This is who I'm with. You call the authorities ahead of time and be like, hey, if my family calls and they cannot locate me and I'm not answering my phone, this is where I am. Because all you gotta do is, like, I mean, police are essentially useless most of the time, but, it, you know, there are a few that are, like, sharp as a tack, and they will be like, oh, okay, this is highly suspect. And that gives you, like, not a smaller window, it gives you a bigger window of, like, being rescued unharmed if something goes south.
So, you've never done any online dating?
God, no. Oh my right? God. Jesus Christ.
Like, that's insane. I know people who are in happy relationships from that.
Bless them.
I have no idea how they did it.
Yeah.
I just
I've gotten so many unsolicited dick pics on the internet that unless we've met face to face in person and I've known you for like 10 years, you are not on my social media. Like, I have people that follow my social media, and a good chunk of it is people that I know personally and like people I've met over the years. I do have I don't want to call them stragglers because that's a horrible word to use, but I do have people that I don't know who the fuck they are, but they follow me. But if they were like, oh, come to the, it's like, no, absolutely not. Like, no, I'm not, like, I don't know you from a hole in the wall. Like, absolutely not. Yeah, no, online dating to me is just like, there's a 50-50 chance of you're going to get murdered or this guy's going to be a chode. And and
there's no in between.
There's no in between.
Yeah.
There's none.
Yeah.
There's none. I've heard horror stories about online dating. I've been the person that people call when they're on like a Tinder date where it's like, if it's going bad, call me in 30 minutes. And if it's going bad, I'm going to say this, come get me. And if it's going good, I'll say this and you can stay at home. I've been that person that like my phone, you know, I call 30 minutes in and like, you know, I get the text notification, like call me, and I call and they're like, this is fucking awful. Please come get me. And then like, oh, what do you mean? The house is on fire. And like, I gotta go get them, you know, like.
Yeah.
I could never. Tinder is gross. Well, Tinder, I think Tinder's gross.
Tinder's like one of the worst ones.
Tinder's gross. I think Tinder's disgusting. I think that's such a disgusting premise. But yeah, I could never. I'll just stick to my business partner. I'm perfectly content with my business partner.
Right? Like, it crossed. I'm so, like happy online with my dating has crossed my mind. I never did it.
Yeah.
But fortunately, then Andy came into my life, so.
Yes. I would rather...
If you didn't, I don't know what would happen, and I might not be sitting here making this podcast with you. So.
I mean, I've known my business partner since high school, so, like, this is a long-established relationship.
Right.
But the thought has never, not once, entered my mind of, like, oh, I'll try online dating, or, like, oh, I'll... This guy has messaged me, and he, you know, hey, you know... What are you into? I'll write back to this person. Like, absolutely not. Because I don't want to get murdered. And two, I don't want to date a chode. Like, I just don't.
Well, you'd break it off. But you also don't know if they're, like, the stalkery type.
Yeah. And I've dealt with that with ex-boyfriends.
Yeah.
I have dated, like, a stalkery type that, like, ended up showing up at my house. And, like, my dad, I was 20 or something. And my dad had to, like, go down and be like, you don't step foot on this property again. like ever.
Yeah.
It's just like one of those things where like this guy asked me out and I said, sure. Cause I was like new to the, you know, I was like freshly single, kind of new to like dating new people. And I went out with him and it was a fucking nightmare. It's just like, it was a nightmare. Oh God. I can't, like, I've been on terrible dates before. Like,
this is why it's scary.
It's so
scary. Like, this is why.
Well, and also too, there's that thing too, where if you break it off with somebody because like you get a bad vibe or like it's just not working out, like you don't know how they're going to react. They could either be the stalkery type or they could be the fly off the handle and fucking kill you type. You just never, it's such a gamble. It's that I would just like, if the idea of like going back, I mean, I'm with somebody now and I'm happy with them, but like if down the road it didn't work out and I had to like think about re-entering the dating world, it's just like, I'm just going to die alone. I'm fine with it. I'm totally content with it.
At this point,
I'm, you know.
Yeah.
I have plenty of good friends. I have a loving family. You know, I've met people traveling and friends of friends that I consider great people and I love spending time with them.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm totally fine with just having a dog and being on my own.
Yeah, I hear that.
Like that thought does not make me sad.
Does not make me sad at all.
I know some people that, like, that's a very depressing thought, but I'm like...
Yeah, like, some people who always have to be, like, with someone.
I've known plenty of people like that. Like, their life is not complete without a relationship.
Same.
And I'm just like, no.
And I'm like, I don't know how you do that, because, number one, ew. Number two, it's like, I mean, if you can just fly from, like, one relationship to the next, like... Like, how strong is that relationship?
I've met people that, I've known people that it defines them. Mm-hmm. And they have no self-identity. Like,
that's maybe it.
So, my friend Dan had dated this girl who...
Dan listen to this?
Yeah, I think so, which is fine. This isn't well, because we both despise this girl, so it's fine.
Oh, cool.
This girl sucks. So my friend / neighbor / like photographer, he like does all my photos. He's great.
Right.
Dan, he's lovely. And Dan has an ex-girlfriend who, depending on who she dates, she kind of goes from like guy to guy to guy to guy. Mm-hmm. And she alters her personality to fit into whoever, like their interests become her interests. So like, and this, I'm not pulling specifics. This is just kind of like a random example. Let's say she's dating somebody who's like really into football. All of a sudden she is like really into football. She's like, go whatever team he likes.
I hate
that. And then let's say that relationship doesn't work and she goes to someone else who's like a, and again, this isn't, I don't know, I know few people that she's dated because Dan has given me examples, but like, let's say this is just pulling like a random profession out of the air. It has nothing to do with anyone she's actually dated, because I don't know. But like, okay, like she breaks up with the football guy and now she's with someone who's like really like into fine art. And all of a sudden she's buying easels and painting and she wants to be a painter. And that's her whole personality, is I love going to art museums. And then they break up. And now she's dating somebody who's like really into rugby. And now she's, now she's super into rugby.
Why can't it just get more hilarious as it goes on? Like, well, now she's dating this guy who really enjoys being a clown.
Yeah, and now
she's... So now she's super into clowns.
Now she's in the circus. Now she has joined the circus. But there's no, like, lull in between the relationships for her to...
Find herself?
Find any kind of self-identity or her own interest. She just kind of gloms onto the personality of whoever she's with. And when that relationship ends, like, all of those characteristics that are in her drop until she goes to the next person. All of a sudden she's like a chameleon. And the problem is that she's in her 30s. So it's like that's something, you know, I see happen with like younger couples that are kind of like figuring themselves out. But it's like, it's when you don't have an identity of your own by your 30s, that is a problem. Like that is a huge fucking problem. You should be able to have your own interests, the things that you like to do, the places you like to go, like your own style. Like, I'm all for, like, growing and evolving and, like, if...
Absolutely.
And, like, you know, like, my business partner likes certain things and now I'm like, oh, well, like, those things, like, certain movies and shows and things like that. Like, and now, like, those things interest me as well. Like, there are things now.
Yeah.
But, like, at the end of the day, like, he can go and do his own thing and, like, I'll come hang out with my friends and it's not, like... separation anxiety. And it's not like I'm with you guys and being like our group of friends and being like, oh, like this isn't really my scene anymore. It's like, no, I'm still me. I'm right. still me. And I still have right. my own interests and the things that I like. And like, he can go hang out with his friends. And it's not like he's like, oh, sorry. Like my girlfriend thinks that this is, you know, she doesn't like this. I can't do this. Like, it's not like that.
Right.
You should be able to have your own fucking personality. Mm-hmm. Except if you're with somebody and they're like, hey, I want to turn you into a walrus. Like, that's probably a good time to break up. Like, it's probably a good time.
You know, just think about it.
Yeah.
You know, just
although
don't make any rash decisions, but just
although honestly, like if Andy came to you and said, like, Steph, I want to turn you into like a aquarium mammal, like, would you go with it? Because like, you love Andy, would you be like, yeah, I'm willing to like try this, or like, sure, I'll dress up as this, like, you want me to put on these tusks? Sure, I'll put on these tusks. Like, whatever floats your boat, I guess.
If that's what you're into.
I'm having this thought of my business partner being like, Ashley, like, I love you. I love our life together. Could you put on these tusks? And I would like to think that I'm like, I'm open to it. I would like to think I'd be like, no, but
you insane person.
But if my business partner came to me and was like, Ashley, can you just like put on these tusks real quick? I would probably be like, sure, honey. Like, it's
right.
Sure. Fuck it. Like, you know what? The world has gone completely insane. What's a pair of tusks going to do to me? Like,
exactly.
Fuck it cares. Like,
exactly.
Honey, if you're listening to this, please don't ask me to put on tusks.
Oh, man.
Like, I'm begging you, please don't ask me to put on tusks.
Oh, man. I can't wait to give you that walrus suit I bought you for Christmas. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, it's going to be so great. I'm gonna fight all your other animals while I'm wearing it.
No!
I'm going to fight your dogs while I'm wearing it.
I feel like you will lose.
Thelma could kick the shit out of me.
Probably.
Thelma goes to jump on me to say hi, and she, like, almost broke every bone in my body by knocking me over.
Yeah.
She's huge.
She doesn't know how to not throw her weight around. So, she's a douche.
Oh, my God.
Anywho... So, what do you think that we should go get into these squids?
Yes, I'm excited to take some pictures of these things. We'll be up on our social media. I'm excited for our next movie because this is one I've seen a gazillion times. And I remember the first time I ever watched it was with you.
Yes.
In the theater.
We went to the theater, yeah.
And I left that theater being like, whew.
So.
Guys, I just need to go home and sit by myself for a while.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. So again, the recipe is going to be on our Instagram. It's at Baking to the Bee Movies. We're on Twitter, but probably for not much longer. That's Baking to Bee Movies if you want to follow us while we still have some time left on there. We are at bakingtothebeemovies@gmail.com. And again, be sure to like and subscribe. We are available wherever you get your podcasts. So yeah, smash that follow button, guys. Steph, is there anything else?
No, I think you covered everything.
Okay. I'm starving. I want to eat this calamari, but do you have tusks that I can put on so I can?
You know, I was just thinking a minute ago if I have something I could put on your face. I don't think so.
Oh. You don't have like the beer horn things I could just strap them to my face?
Oh. I have a horn.
That'll work.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right.
All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Always a pleasure. My name is Ashley.
And my name is Steph.
This has been Baking to the Bee Movies. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
Bye.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye.
Bye.